Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, August the 29th, 2017. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this new day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your guidance. We come to continue our study. We ask that you would continue to guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I do believe that everyone is aware of the fact of the hurricane that has been taking place in Texas within the last number of hours, and you are perhaps also aware of the extreme damage that has been done, that has followed that hurricane. The storm itself did quite a bit of damage, but also the aftermath, the rain that has followed it has been quite intensified. Now, we've noticed in the very recent past that storms are indeed increasing in strength and destruction. And there is an article that was published in November of 2013 on the AccuWeather website. And it asks a question: are storms getting stronger? That's the AccuWeather website. The article entitled, "Are Storms Getting Stronger?" Listen to some of the article. Research has mostly been focused on short-term forecasting when it comes to hurricanes, winter storms, thunderstorms, and tornadoes, with much less focus on how storms are changing over long periods of time due to a lack of reliable long-term records. However, there are new efforts directed on the study of how the changing climate is impacting storms. And so far, there is a growing consensus that global warming may be producing stronger but fewer storms, according to a new report from NASA's Earth Observatory. After Sandy devastated parts of the Northeast Coast last year, there were many questions about whether or not climate change had caused Sandy to be such an extreme event. Here are some of the key excerpts from the NASA articles that have been written. Rising sea levels exacerbated Sandy's storm surge, for example, a direct link between global warming and storm damage, and abnormally high sea surface temperatures in the Atlantic probably intensified the storm. But pinning all of Sandy's fury, its hybrid nature, the scale of its winds, its unusual track, on global warming is premature, says Shepard, the current president of the American Meteorological Society. Storms feed off a latent heat, which is why scientists think global warming is strengthening storms. Extra heat in the atmosphere or ocean nourishes storms. The more heat energy that goes in, the more vigorously a weather system can churn. A study based on over 20 years of satellite altimeter data showed that hurricanes intensify faster now than what they did 25 years ago, according to the report. Extra water vapor in the atmosphere is also making storms wetter. Over the past 25 years, satellites have detected a 4% rise in water vapor in the air column. Climatologists think the different rates of warming from the equator to the poles could have a significant impact on some types of storms. Extra tropical cyclones, for example, harvest energy from the atmosphere when masses of warm and cold air interact along the polar front. The boundary between cooler polar air and warmer subtropical air. As the difference between the temperature at the poles and the tropical decreases, there could be less energy for these storms to absorb, a change that could weaken them or make them less frequent. Latest research also suggests that Atlantic wind shear could increase by 1 to 2 miles per hour for each degree that global temperatures increase, which is why many climate simulations project that the number of tropical cyclones will stay the same or decrease, while the strongest storms get stronger. There has also been new research showing a possible link between Arctic sea ice extent and slowing of a jet stream winds across the far north, which would lead to a more high latitude blocking and the potential for colder, stormier weather farther to the south. Now, of course, if you're listening to this article, you realize that there is quite a bit of controversy here. These gentlemen are not really all of the same opinion. They do believe that climate change or the warming of the climate has something to do with it. But each one of these men or each one of these opinions is coming from a different direction. Notice how the article continues. Another study led by Robert Trapp of Purdue University found that a doubling of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere would significantly increase the number of days that severe thunderstorms could occur in the southern and eastern United States. Cities such as Atlanta and New York could see a doubling of the number of days that severe thunderstorms could occur. The model suggests the increase of the CAPE more than compensated for the decrease in wind shear. Now, that's Trapp's opinion. Now, here's the thing. And what is interesting here is that there is this coming together, an agreement about the fact that climate change is occurring. As I said before, however, these men, these scientists, they all have varied ideas as to how the climate is changing and to what is causing the problems that we are facing today. There is an article that was written just yesterday, published August the 28th, 2017. The writer of the article is Maddie Stone, and it was published in Gizmodo website. That's spelled Gizmodo, the Gizmodo website. Here's the topic of the article: Why Tropical Storm Harvey is Showing Texas No Mercy. Let's see what it says. Right now, Houston is in the midst of a catastrophic flood disaster as Tropical Storm Harvey, which made landfall as a Category 4 hurricane on the central Texas coastline Friday night, continues to unleash torrents over the Houston-Galveston metropolitan area. Harvey is expected to drop an additional 15 to 25 inches of rainfall over the next few days, which combined with 1 to 2 feet of rain that fell over the weekend has created a worst-case scenario for Houston and could lead to some of the highest rainfall totals the nation has ever seen. Tropical storms get their fuel from warm, wet air evaporating off the ocean. After making landfall, they tend to dissipate quickly, losing energy and unorganization as they blow across cooler, drier inland air masses. What makes Harvey both incredibly dangerous and highly unusual is that it has barely budged over the last few days, channeling nonstop belts of rainfall from sea to land. There's virtually no precedent for such a slow-moving system maintaining at least tropical storm strength along the Texas coast for 5 days, meteorologists Jeff Masters and Bob Henson wrote yesterday on their weather and climate science blog. So why won't Harvey leave Texas alone? The problem with Harvey is that it is trapped. Phil Kosbach, atmospheric scientist and tropical storm expert at Colorado State University, told Gizmodo in an email. Harvey's unusual trajectory, or lack thereof, stems from the fact that it's stuck between two areas of strong upper-level high pressure, one in the western U.S. and another centered around the southeast. Hurricanes effectively move as pebbles in a stream. That is, they are steered by large-scale weather patterns. The combination of these high-pressure areas means that the storm is currently stationary. A tropical storm stalling out due to weak steering currents isn't so unusual in itself, but the additional circumstances surrounding Harvey have created a nightmare scenario for coastal residents. What makes this exceptional is that it's a former Category 4 hurricane, and it's located very near a U.S. coastline, and the upper-level pattern is going to be very persistent, which means the stall could last for days. Harvey is trapped close enough to the Gulf that it's able to siphon an endless supply of energy and moisture from exceptionally warm waters, which are also likely to have contributed to the storm's rapid intensification last week. Unfortunately, some weather models are now showing that Harvey could drift back out to sea over the next few days, re-intensifying a bit before hammering the coastline again. According to Colesback, the closest analog may be a tropical storm, Allison, which was in 2001, which tracked slowly across Texas and Louisiana for several days, dropping over 40 inches of rainfall on some parts of Houston. That storm, which flooded more than 70,000 homes, was much weaker than Harvey. Events like this always cause folks to ask about the connection between hurricanes and climate change. The science is still evolving, and the answer is not simple. And of course, you know what they mean by the science is still evolving. They have not really come to a conclusion. Continuing, while theory suggests that higher sea surface temperatures will yield more intense storms, whether we're actually seeing an uptick in cyclone intensity worldwide is unclear. The trend signal has not yet had time to rise above the background variability of natural processes, according to a recent draft of the National Climate Assessment. Still, climate scientists generally agree that elevated sea surface and air temperatures play a role in intensifying storms. So it wouldn't be a shock if future attributions and their studies link features of Harvey to rising temperatures. Now you see that there is not much that can be really decided upon here, because there are many scientists who have varied opinions. Also, when they see this storm, Harvey, there is a little difficulty in assessing exactly what is causing its intensity. Of course, there are some elements of it that are clear: the high wind, the intensity of the rain, and the long, drawn-out flooding that is taking place. But if you talk to the scientists, each one of them might just explain it a different way and satisfy your question with a different conclusion. Let's take a look at another article that is found in the Yale Environment 360 website, August the 28th, 2017. The topic of the article is Texas continues to grapple with intense flooding as Tropical Storm Harvey lingers in the Gulf. Here's what this article says. A Texas National Guardsman carried a resident from her flooded home following Hurricane Harvey in Houston, August the 27th, 2017. Texas Gulf Coast was crippled over the weekend by catastrophic flooding from Tropical Storm Harvey, which dumped as much as 30 inches of rain on some parts of Houston and the surrounding region. Forecasters say the worst is yet to come, with an additional 25 inches of rain expected through this weekend as the storm meanders northward. Roads, buildings, and homes in Houston, the United States' fourth largest city with 2.3 million people, were submerged under several feet of water Monday morning. Baytown, Texas, a city 30 miles east of Houston with several major oil refineries, has received nearly 35 inches of rain as of Monday morning. The Brazos River was expected to crest at a record 59 feet, 14 feet above its flood stage, according to Reuters. More than 30,000 people are expected to need temporary shelters, according to the Federal Emergency Management Agency. As the rain continues to fall through Thursday, rivers as far away as 150 miles north of Houston will continue to swell. And forecasters will warn that flooding will only intensify for communities downstream. In total, Harvey is expected to dump up to 50 inches of rain on the region in less than a week. The storm is also expected to severely impact parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and southern Arkansas as it moves northward. Harvey's intense rainfall is fueled by the Gulf of Mexico's above-average water temperatures, which are as much as 1.5 degrees Celsius, that would be 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, warmer than a few decades ago, according to the climate scientist Michael Mann. Now, one of the reasons why I went through these three articles for you is because I wanted you to see the difference in the opinions that are arising here. And, of course, the scientists all agree that the climate is changing, that the Earth is becoming warmer. But now, I'd like to read for you a more expert opinion, one that I think we can really place our trust in. It's found in the book Great Controversy, chapter 36. And I'm going to begin at page 589, paragraph 2. It says, Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. When he was suffered to afflict Job, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another, as in a moment. It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. But the Christian world have shown contempt for the law of Jehovah, and the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. He will favor and prosper some in order to further his own designs, and he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster upon populous cities until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly tint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the haughty people do language. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. And then, the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. The class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandment is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this sin has brought calamities, which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced, and that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. Thus the accusations urged of all against the people of God will be repeated, and upon grounds equally well established. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and have followed Balaam. As the wrath of the people shall be excited by false charges, they will pursue a course towards God's ambassadors, very similar to that which apostate Israel pursued toward Elijah. This is the expert opinion. This is the one that we need to embrace. We need to understand what is happening here. All that we see around us, there is nothing secular about it at all, but rather it is an act of Satan setting up a situation where he might ultimately bring accusations against those who serve and love the Lord. You must be ready. You must be strengthened by truth. You must place your hand in God's hand. You must read and study His Word daily. You must fall on your knees and pray daily. You must set a right example for your children always, that God might lead you and them. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust your word. We thank you that you are indeed our protector. We go forward in faith, knowing that you will do all that you have promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, August the 29th, 2017.